Quality base here. The Eagle has landed.
Worldview Truth.
This is Randy Osborne with Worldview Truth. And in the studio this afternoon, we have a special guest. This is Ryan Chamberlain. He is a state representative of House District 24. How am I doing?
That's it. Perfect.
All right. Said it. Okay. And we have a very special topic this afternoon. The topic that we're talking about this afternoon is a legislative bill that was passed. It was signed into law, and I think the law goes in effect January 1st, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm just going to kind of read what Governor DeSantis said about the bill, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the bill, and we're going to talk about why you were supportive of this bill, and I'm also on some of the people that are questioning the constitutionality of it and whatever. We're going to talk through that as well.
Yep.
So this is what Governor DeSantis, this is actually his press release is what it is. And this is, I'm going to go ahead and read this. Today, Governor DeSantis signed HB 3, which prohibits children under the age of 14 from becoming social media account holders and allows 14 and 15 year olds to become account holders with parental consent. It goes on that this is his quote. Governor DeSantis' quote said this. He said, "Social media harms children in a variety of ways. HB 3 gives parents a greater ability to protect their children. Thank you, Speaker Renner, for delivering this landmark legislation." And it kind of goes on about that. You sat through numerous committees on this. And I know some of the things that you heard about this, the pros and the cons about this. I want you, first of all, kind of give us a little bit of oversight on this bill and exactly what the bill does, because it's amazing. I don't care what bill it is. When it gets out to the public, it's amazing what this bills do that they don't do.
Yeah.
And it's amazing about bills that what they don't do, they actually do.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of give us an oversight of that, if you would.
Well, sure thing, Randy, and hey, I appreciate you inviting me to be on here on the show. Share a little bit of my perspective on the inside. I did sit through a bunch of meetings, and these bills have to go through several committees on the House side, three on the House side, three on the Senate side, ultimately make it to the House floor, which HB 1 initially had some, you know, even stronger language.
Right.
But we came together on HB 3, and it was a really unique, what I share with you, was a unique experience, because both on the Republican side and on the Democrat side of things, HB 3 was overall was a popular bill when the lawmakers, those that actually sat through and paid attention to the data that was delivered to us by experts. I'm going to say something about that data as well. At zero committees that I sat through, which was hours upon hours of committees,
at
zero time that I know of in any committee did a representative from some of the biggest social media companies come to debate or to argue that they weren't doing what we claim they were doing.
Wait. So they didn't even bother to show up?
No. The biggest social...
Did they have lobbyists come?
They did not. There was no one that articulated an argument to disagree with. I mean, there's people that disagreed with the bill.
Right. But there wasn't lobbyists. They didn't send lobbyists in to lobby against this thing, and to your knowledge.
If they were there, they didn't.
They were hiding in the...
They were hiding.
They were kind of running around.
And they were ineffective, obviously, because they weren't able to sway us in any way. But I don't remember any legitimate argument from, and there might have been, it might be slipping my mind, but I just don't remember it, and I don't believe there was.
That's amazing.
So the topics that we bring up here today, I think, are known by some of the biggest social media companies to be true.
Yeah.
And very intentional. That's the word you'll hear me use over and over again,
right,
is that the data that we see with social media today, it by most people, it's not argued that social media, there's some challenges with the world but specific challenges when we're dealing with our youth and our young people and the targeting. And what I am extremely proud of is a position that Florida took, the most aggressive position ever.
Yeah.
And hopefully a trend-setting position
right.
that will trickle across the rest of the country. Because let me give you just a few thoughts here. I didn't know, but the majority of the teens in the U.S. right now spend about 4 hours and 45 minutes per day on social media, whether their parents know it or not.
Okay, wait. Back up. On the average, you're saying that kids, children, spend how many hours?
Probably more time on 4 hours and 45 minutes, which I believe is more time than they spend in school.
Okay, yeah, wait. Okay, now I realize the problem.
I mean, this isn't funny. We're kind of... but
I'm being very sarcastic, but now I get the problem. I mean, when do they do homework? Or when do they...
When do they go outside and play? I think that what's happening is they have, we've developed a new generation of people that are multitasking with social media in the midst of everything they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
That's what's going on, even while they're driving.
That's true. I'm not saying I'm doing it. I've just seen people.
I'm not saying that, you know, that's an adult problem as well, but it is certainly become a thing that we're dealing with. Another crazy statistic was this, that, and this will get into some of the meat of what we're talking about. There's been accumulating the data that needed to be accumulated. There were test accounts that were set up in, you know, lots of test accounts, not just one, we're talking thousands, but they were created for 13-year-old, you know, test accounts, normal social media platforms that just about everybody uses. And on the average, within 3 minutes of these test accounts being created, the algorithms that are intentionally designed to deal with that age.
So it's picking up that age group.
It's picking up the age group. It's sending specific content, specific information that's triggered almost instantaneously to mention things like suicide and self-harm. And maybe doing it in a way where it's more in this subconscious of the feed, but these thoughts are being, it's really sad is what it is. It's sad to think. Within 8 minutes, and this is mainly for young ladies, eating disorder content, you know, making young ladies start to feel terrible about how they look in a certain way. This is not, we're not making this up. We're talking about data.
You are tripping me out right now. I did not know this. Now I knew it when this bill began to start running because I started following it. I had no idea what you're talking about right now. And I'm just going to say, parents, you need to pay attention right now to what he's saying. This is unbelievable. And you go home and you scratch your head and you're trying to figure out what's wrong with your kids.
Right.
And listen to some of these statistics that he's giving right now. Suicide rate.
Listen, this...
eating disorders. And this is being targeted? Can I say targeted?
Targeted. This is business to the social media companies because they want to entrap our children into a certain way of thinking. I'm going to expand on that in a second. But by far, I'm against government messing with business.
Right.
And trying to tell businesses how to operate. And so those that would oppose HB3, a lot of it was those that would feel that way, and I understand that feeling because that may be the way I approached it before I
found out what
had
they
this
were
data.
Doing.
Yeah. This is beyond that, my friends. This is an intentional target that steps out of bounds by any business standards. And we could say, well, businesses should be allowed to do anything. Well, let's talk about that for a second, because they have. HB3 really was designed, in my opinion, not to restrain businesses, but to give more power to the parents that have no idea, that are being outsmarted, outspent, outfunded, outstrategized by these big conglomerates that know what they're doing, to almost to the point where no matter what the parent would try to do other than just take the device away, although it's easy to go find other devices.
Sure.
It's going to be almost impossible for their kid to participate in a normal thing, which is social media today, without their mindset being being targeted.
Give me some of those numbers again. I was so blown away by the first one. I think I lost the other ones.
4 hours and 45 minutes a day.
Okay.
Our children are participating in some sort of social media activity. Inside of that activity, even though it may be fun and there may be friends involved, there are targeted algorithms and messages that, for whatever reason, I don't even want to. I mean, you try to think of why.
You try to speculate why they're doing this.
Yeah. Which leads me to other bills that we filed, which is the same type thing, because I do think there's an un-American reason that our kids are being targeted as well.
Right.
There's a spiritual reason, there's an un-American reason, and there's just a pure, I guess, hatred for conservatism that would want to change the bulk of the way kids think, because they know by the time these children get to 18 years old, the adult age that we have, if they have been in their head enough,
yeah,
we will have a hard time trying to unwind
right
some of the nonsense.
That's right.
From 18 to 50 or 18 to 80, we yeah. cannot unwind what happened from 12 to 18 in most cases.
That's right.
And they know this. They know it. They know these are future consumers, future voters, future people that are going to influence society in all ways of thinking, potentially future socialists, potentially future people that hate America for what it was founded on based on what was fed into them. And I'm looking at all this. I'm seeing all this. And what I'm just, you know, a lot of times you hear about it, but the data is overwhelming now. The data is the mental care crisis that is happening in our youth. The amount of solutions that are being presented to help them with their mental health in the form of taking pills to help them think clearer and all the stuff that's getting worse and worse and worse. The root cause of it is what's going into their head 4 hours and 45 minutes a day.
That's right. That's right. Let me ask this. Some of the statistics that were given in these committee meetings, did you, and I'm not, you know, let me ask a question. Let me ask it this way. Did you see anybody opposing those statistics, or did they just go on to another argument? Did they ignore the statistic, or did they say, well, that's not really happening, or where'd you get that number, or that number's not?
So, no, I didn't see anyone arguing the stats. I saw people presenting the other side of, you know, what it would be like. You know, there's examples. Now let's talk about, there's some good examples of things that have happened good because of social media as well.
That's true.
So young people have thrived in business that they wouldn't have otherwise thrived in. And so it wasn't that they argued all the bad. What I saw them doing was argue. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
What I saw them doing was almost ignoring the 99% of the bad and focusing on the 1% of good as if it would override all the 99% of the bad.
Right.
And so, you know, on maybe my side of things, I didn't want to argue that I wouldn't have argued the fact that there's some good things that social media could do. And that really is a point I want to say. None of this bill stops any of these companies from producing anything or allowing anything. What it stops is, all it stops is intentionally targeting young people and us saying, you've had your chance to correct it. You will not correct it. You won't even show up to defend it. Florida's going to do something about it. We have given you, Florida would not have had to do this had there been a machine in place that's spending billions and craftily, if that's the word, going after our young people to get them to think a certain way year after year after year, and it's getting worse.
Let me ask you this question. How is this bill? So it's basically, it prevents minors who is younger than 14 from becoming a social media account holder. Now tell me how's that going to be enforced? How's that enforceable?
I'll give you a general answer. I think we will have to work through this to learn how to enforce it. But for one, certainly it's going to require some sort of identification, and that may be another challenge that people have had with it. But there's some sort of, you know how it is when you sign up for lots of things these days that has critical information attached to it.
Right.
They require you to prove your identity.
Who you are. Yeah.
There's going to be an identity approval process, which will be, I think, hard to beat, but maybe it could be. Generally speaking, parents would know through this process that their kid has an account and what types of things are allowed. But more importantly, I think there could be legitimate major lawsuits and a legitimate amount of money that these companies would get, ultimately have to pay out. And they don't want to pay out. That definitely speaks their language, right?
Right.
But they will absolutely be breaking the law now,
right,
by doing this, where they weren't breaking the law before.
Something really interesting. This just happened this morning, about 3 o'clock this morning. I had Google, I had Amazon, I had several other media sites send me emails and saying, because of upcoming new changes in legislation, you're going to have to prove how old you are.
That's absolutely right.
And I just started cracking up. I thought, okay. And that just happened this morning. It was interesting. So
you think of this as in the business world, if this was a conventional business and they were, they had this kind of content that these 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds are looking at, they would not be able to purchase this content without being of legal age.
That's right.
And so why would it not be a normal part of our society to say, okay, the world's moving to social media in business and a lot of things. We still have conventional business. But why would we not want our children to or anyone to have to prove their age to get this kind of content that absolutely, it's not just about learning and reading. This is about helping a 10-year-old think that this is the way it is. And, this could come from targeted information about how great communism is. This could come from targeted. We wouldn't want that being forced down. If this was conventional business, my point is most people would not have a problem trying to say, you know what, you can't sell that in public forum to young people. That's what social media is doing.
Are you suggesting that the content that's being fed to, I'm not saying you're suggesting, you're saying the content that's being fed to these young people is content that would, if it was out there openly, it would not be approved. In other words, it would be censored by, for example, I think movies have ratings, okay? And it's like, you can't get into this particular movie because of this age.
100%.
You're saying that this is going on all day long.
Some of the content that I saw and read is so bad, you couldn't repeat it on this show. We couldn't read it. We couldn't let you know what your kids are watching.
It's unreal. I'll tell you a quick story, just a legislative story. I was fighting some education policy issues a number of years ago, so nobody can say, I was there back then. There was a few people that just turned out that were there. But there was a hearing, and there was textbooks. Public school textbooks had material on it that was pornographic nature.
Mm-hmm.
Had some reading that books that were accepted. I know that that's been fought in the past couple years, and governors really cracked down on that. But at that time, I couldn't get movement on it. I couldn't get anybody to stop it. So I went into a committee, and I opened one of the textbooks and proceeded to read it. I got thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could not use that type of content. I cannot use that type of language in a Senate hearing. This is at the state capitol. Okay, this was a number of years ago. But, and of course, I did it to get a reaction. I did it to say, look, you won't let me read this, but we're pushing this onto our children. And it began a movement that eventually, Governor DeSantis has really signed some bills last year that really cracked down on this. But I think this is another one that is down the same lines. It's just, it's a little, kids, parents don't know what their kids are looking at on social media. A lot of parents, and you know, I'm an older guy, and the only reason I know a little bit about social media is because I have to try to keep up with that stuff. But parents don't know what their kids are watching on these social media sites. TikTok. Oh my goodness.
And this bill doesn't stop children from searching for things that they shouldn't be searching for. That's a whole nother topic.
And that's not even part of this bill at all.
This is kind of like what you were dealing with schools.
Yeah.
We're putting it in their hands, and it's like saying, here's a tool. Now let us send you some stuff we think you should be reading.
Yeah.
That's what we're stopping.
Right. Gotcha.
And the companies that will remove these algorithms and remove this intentionality, there'll be some checklist of things that if they will do it and comply, then a 16-year-old or whatever would be able to utilize that account. So we will, but there's going to be some accounts, maybe some that are foreign owned, that just aren't going to comply. And some of the bigger companies, they need to act quick. As you said, this goes into effect here pretty, I would guess they're scrambling right now.
Yeah, January 1st, that's not long. I mean, it sounds long, but it's not when you're trying to fix something. You're trying to, something that you've been doing that your entire business career, mm-hmm. now you're going to have to try to fix it. And this has been going on a long time. And we're going to be right back. This is Randy Osborne. I'm here with Representative Ryan Chamberlain, State House 24. And we will
Worldview Truth. Worldview Truth is a relatively a new podcast, but this is what I'm asking. We are getting some unbelievable numbers that are starting to blow up, and it is only found on Rumble under Worldview Truth, Randy Osborne. That's Worldview Truth, Randy Osborne. You can also find Worldview Truth on your favorite audio podcast. We're on just about every podcast that you can imagine. You can look that up and you can find it for your car or for listening as well. But what I'm asking you to do is when you find Worldview Truth, I'm asking you to follow the channel, and then share that channel with other people. Also, when you listen to a podcast or you watch a podcast, comment on it. Tell us what you think about it. Tell us your perspective on what we're trying to do. And I appreciate that. It's growing, and I appreciate your support in Worldview Truth. Also, you can go to worldviewtruth.org, worldviewtruth.org, for other information about what we're doing. Thank you, and God bless. Truth.
This is Randy Osborne with Worldview Truth. I am back with Ryan Chamberlain, State Representative, House District 24. And we are talking about a subject that social media is the thing. And HB3 is the actual bill that we're talking about that just got passed, just got signed into law, and goes into effect on January 1st. And a couple things that I just want to bring up. Parents, they are ultimately responsible for their children. And I know that the world, I'm going to say socialism, communism, the philosophy right now that's going on, even in our own country, would say, no, you know, the state is responsible. We're in charge of it. In fact, the education, the battle that has been going on in education in the state of Florida alone has been that battle. And it's with teachers' unions. I can say that. You don't have to talk about that. I'll say it. It's with teachers' unions. And that battle, because teacher unions are socialist, communist organizations, and I'm just going to flat out say that because it's the truth. But the battle is who is responsible for your child? That's the battle going on. And parents are ultimately responsible for their children. Why is this happening? And I want you to talk about that. We talked just a couple seconds off air about that, and you brought up some good issues. One of them is parents just don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of elaborate on the things that you see that's going on, that why this is happening, and why, honestly, legislatures have to take action on trying to let this be known.
Well, absolutely, and this isn't a parenting class necessarily, but if we just kind of stand back and look at what happens in our world every day, there's some really great parents out there. Some of those parents do care about what their kids, what goes into their minds, and they have been outsmarted by these big companies that have intentionally outsmarted the parents. That's the workaround. You know, if the far left can't get states and or governments to just turn over all parental rights, then they'll just figure out how to outsmart that system.
Right.
That's what I think we've witnessed here. You know, there is a percentage of parents that just don't pay attention to anything.
Right.
We're not here to pick on them, but that is what happens. And, you know, whether we do this bill or not, those children may find themselves messing with things and reading things and whatever they shouldn't be reading anyway. So you got a little bit of all that going on, but to stand back and say, we're going to let any business do whatever they want to any child that they want to do it with in regards to the way social media is a part of the fabric is almost ludicrous when you sit back and think about it. And I just think the data is just now coming to light how bad it is.
Right.
You know, almost you couldn't have predicted it would be as bad as it is. And so to where, I mean, this is the type of bill that you would think would have big opposition on both sides in a house.
Like, right.
Especially in a conservative environment of Florida, we're talking 90-something percent of the elected officials voted for this. I mean, it was a high number.
Wow.
If it was 80%.
Both sides,
high,
yeah.
Both sides in big ways. Again, there was a few.
How can you argue this? How can you argue the other side of this?
Because you know what? Both sides, there's great parents on both sides that they have different views, but there are some great parents, great people, and they care about children.
Yeah.
And if you care about children and you know that someone is intentionally damaging children, then you have to do something about it. And so Florida took that step. Florida is a great state. It has its problems. I've sat through it. You know, there is no perfect system here. But the intention of what we did in Florida was to protect children. And the only right we took away was the right to target children.
Right.
Think about that. That even shouldn't be something we have to take away. It should be just something no one does. But we did establish that. We are up against multi-billion dollar companies, some say trillions of dollars worth of business. And we made that step. So proud to be a part of the process. I think it's we're going to go back next session. I think there'll be additional things that we have to tighten up on this. Things that so many moving parts that, you know, trying to think through every moving part the first time around is difficult. But man, this did a good job.
This is a beginning.
This is a beginning.
I'm going to just take a real quick minute. I'm going to speak to parents about not just this, but about what is going on in our world that we live in. This is a different world than what I grew up in.
Yeah.
You know, the telephone was a rotary. It was on the wall of my house. And if I was to call somebody, guess who was right there?
Yeah.
Mom was standing right there. Mm-hmm. So she heard that conversation. We didn't have phones in the bedrooms and stuff. I wasn't even allowed to have a phone in a bedroom. You know, I was not allowed. And I look back on that and I was just, you know, I think, you know, how deprived was I, you know? And I'm an administrator of a school, private school. And I have never experienced some of the things that has been experienced in this school. And this is a private school. We have the ability to curb and stop a lot of things that happen that public schools can't do. But I want to say this, that number one, parents have got to be responsible for their children. They have to take responsibility for that. You as a parent think that you take your child to a school and drop your child off and think that that's the responsibility of that educator to educate your child. It's the responsibility of the educator to educate your child if that's what you are contracted with that educator. However, that's not where education ends. It's a philosophy, and you have to be part of that your entire child's life. You cannot have your children on, young children on social media. You have to police that. You have to sit there. You have to know what's on your child's phone. If you elect to have social media, I did not let my children have social media. They weren't allowed. They just didn't have it. We didn't have time for it. That's the way I fixed it, is they didn't have time for it. It wasn't that, you know, you're not allowed this. Now you just sit there and look at the walls. They didn't have time to deal with it. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is, you as parents have got to know what's going on with your children. We have experienced in our school, we have experienced some of the things that you mentioned. That's the reason I kind of flipped out about suicide. You've got 4 and 5 year old, fourth and fifth grade kids talking about suicide. Mm-hmm. Where's that coming from? Mm-hmm. Where is that coming from? The sexual stuff that's going on with these kids. We have third graders, sometimes second graders, talking about explicit stuff that you're like, where is this coming from? And a lot of it's coming from social media. Parents are like, I don't know where it's coming from. I'm clueless. Mm-hmm. You know, I've not seen that stuff. And here's the other thing about social media. If I can't figure out how to use my phone, something's wrong with my phone, I'll hand it to, you know, the guy that's 20 years younger than me. Okay, and say, hey, can you fix this? And of course, they'll fix it. Kids are geniuses when it comes to technology. They just are. And that's another way that social media organizations know that. Mm-hmm. And kids are outsmarting, and social media companies are outsmarting parents in some of this manner.
Yep.
So I just wanted to share that.
No, I appreciate that.
Let me ask you this. What else are you looking at in the next session? Down the lines of education or things of this nature, is there anything else that you're kind of looking at and saying, you know what, this is something I really am seeing that I think we need to work on, and we need to get some legislation going on?
Absolutely. And I'm deep diving on a number of these topics. You're someone I'll be talking to about quite a few of these. And just to tag on to what you said a second ago, because I'll be 50 here in a few weeks. So the generation that I grew up in, the 80s and 90s.
You're a youngster.
I mean, well, I guess so. I'm not feeling that young anymore. But we certainly didn't have access to social media.
Yeah.
The iPhone really hasn't been around that long. The smartphone, the ability to do everything we can. But I have 4 children from 27 to 19. Just if I look at it, they were able to avoid some things just in their time frame that going forward it's maybe 10 times more challenging than it was even 5 or 10 years ago.
That's true.
Just because of the speed and the amount of information. So
I'm sure your oldest one, some of the technology is a lot different than
they were not being bombarded by social media conglomerates as young as my children are. At 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, because it had not been, the last 5 years has ushered in, and predominantly since the whole COVID thing that happened, there has been an even more aggressive approach in the last 3 years to get in to more minds than we ever thought. So that problem is growing. We're putting a stop to it. But as far as additional things, certainly education is a big topic. Outside of social media, general education of now looking at some of the challenges that we're having in our elementary. I mean, if social media didn't exist at all, the next big topic would be how is this generation being educated? What is being approved? Who's approving it?
Right.
And how is it ending up in their minds from that? You know, that's a medium. That's a way that gets in their mind. But one of the things I'm interested in is also, yes, there's issues there, but on the higher education side, you know, they've made it through, they're 18, 19, now they enter into a university world or a college world, and some of the systematic things that are in that from 18 to 22 that's supposedly setting them up for the rest of their career life, I think there's a lot more time and energy going to be invested into that over the next few years as well. And yes, there's a lot of different ideas that young adults can maybe handle that are different than an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old. But there's some real challenges that I see on the higher education side. Law enforcement is a big topic that I love to work with our local law enforcement, because I believe they're on the front lines of seeing what some of these other challenges we're talking about have ultimately, you know, led people to making bad decisions over. And I, you know, as I'm diving into more and more things on law enforcement specifically, I do think there's some improved systems that our local sheriff, our local chief has said, okay, Ryan, we've got to do a better job at, you know, when a youngster gets in trouble, how the discipline that they are dealt with, because we want to help them. We want to guide them. Some children are coming from really bad situations. So Right. We don't want to throw away the key. We don't want to get them into a bad system by default. But we have removed so much of the principle-based disciplinary things that would help curb and correct our youngsters. So by the time they do become, I sound like an old guy saying the word youngster, but by the time they do get to be 18, they really don't think anything could ever happen to them. They don't necessarily feel that there's consequences toward their actions. And that is something we are training.
That's right.
By the laws we've created, we are training that our people to feel. So how to go about that, I don't want to claim I have all the answers, but I am going to be in the middle of helping do my best to create solutions. And I think there is some things we can do there. And the last piece that's big on my mind right now is I see how as a society we deal with taxes, we deal with the spending of money, what we invest in, what we should or shouldn't be investing in. And I think we're in need, and I'm not the only one that would be saying this, but I am jumping on the bandwagon that we are in the need of an overhaul, and that overhaul is coming. It has to come. Otherwise, we live in a bankrupt world, in a bankrupt country, and then we make even worse decisions. So I see myself getting involved on the tax conversation.
That's good.
Not just from the word tax, but really from how do we steward that money? Because, you know, the government doesn't really, the state doesn't really pay for anything or do anything without our approval. And they don't have the ability to spend money that really isn't theirs. It's what we are. We've got to decide how this is being contributed. And it's gotten out of hand.
But sometimes the government forgets.
They forget. So those are some of the issues that I'm rolling up my sleeves. I'm engaged in a lot of conversations. When you're in session, for example, in Florida, we have a 60-day session. You really do. It's a year's worth of work in 60 days. It's a nonstop. That's why you have to basically live there.
Yeah.
And then throughout the rest of the year, you're engaged in discussions and helping implement the things that we're discussing. And so that's one of the
contrary to what people think, it is a full-time job.
It is. Yeah. If you want to make a difference, it's a full-time job. There's
exactly.
Stuff
that's exactly right.
And I don't pick on anyone. It's designed to be. You should. And I do have other business things that I participate in. So it's designed to be something you can manage amongst your businesses, but you don't really stop thinking about it.
No.
When you care about it.
Yeah.
And you are constantly looking for solutions, and you are engaged in conversations like this. And I'm excited about being part of the solution.
That's awesome. This is Ryan Chamberlain, House District 24. This was a special election that you just got on board at the legislative session. Time, didn't you?
That's right. A little bit over a year ago, I was elected in the primary, which basically ushered me into just wrapping up my first full year, which included the 60 days where we're in re-election mode.
You learn by fire is what?
You learn by fire.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a great job. I appreciate you engaging this issue. I appreciate what's on the horizon, and I definitely want to talk further about education, because it's something that's passionate to me. Yep. I know it's been passionate for you. So
Thank you so much.
Thank you again, and God bless you. This is Randy Osborne with Worldview Truth. Until next time, God bless. We've all seen the horrific images on television and on the internet and social media. Israel has lost 1,600 citizens, many of them children, women, babies. Many of them were tortured to death. And we as Americans want to know what we can do to help our Jewish friends in Israel. Number one is pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for wisdom. Pray that God will protect the nation of Israel. And then the second thing you can do is give. And we have a fund that you can donate to. It's on worldviewtruth.org, worldviewtruth.org. And we are supplying protective gear for the communities throughout the state of Israel. If you are interested in that, you can go to worldviewtruth.org, click on the Israel Fund donation, and donate whatever amount you're able to give. And we will make sure that every single donation will help supply the needs of the families across the state of Israel. You see, the soldiers are battlefield. They are away from their families. So we want to make sure that the families are secure and safe that are in the communities. Thank you, and God bless.
Worldview Truth.